Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
During the week, John Howard ran a press conference. Actually, I think he spoke to the media club, didn't he?
The press club in Canberra.
And he said, I'm going to quote now, he said, it is a fact of society that women play a significantly greater part of fulfilling the caring role in our communities, which inevitably places some limits on their capacity. He said that in response to why are there such few women on the Liberal side of politics in Parliament at present. We've asked Mary Crooks, who's the CEO of the Victorian Women's Trust, to come in and comment on that. Good morning, Mary.
Hi there.
How are you today?
Good morning.
I'm good, thank you, yeah.
Excellent. So what's your response to John Howard's comments?
Look, John Howard's comments are really not at all surprising for a person of his era. He actually sort of reminds me pretty much of my father, to be honest. And I can just see John Howard, you know, in his comfortable home with Janet tending to him with his cups of tea and while he jots his memoirs and so on. So he belongs
with an apron
to
on,
another
I
world.
With an apron.
Sorry?
On. While she's wearing an apron.
Yeah, quite possibly. but look, I think, yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is that it is a fact that biology kicks in to a woman's life at particular parts in ways different from a guy's. I mean, you know, she is the one who's going to bear the children, and she's more likely, if she's breastfeeding and so on, to be caring for that child. And our socialisation over decades has been largely to suggest that this primary care role for a long time is extended to women. But where John Howard has forgotten to look closely is that society's changed, and it's changed heaps. And the genie's out of the bottle. And what we will see progressively over the next years and decades is men as fathers, as men as partners, playing a much more hands-on, much more active, caring role in terms of their children and their family members and so on. And you know what? We'll actually be all the better for it. So he's actually in a past era now. He's locked into that. And one of his great big mistakes, implicit in his quote, is that he seems to infer that biological imperative or biological kick-in is actually permanent. And, of course, it's not. You know, I mean, there is absolutely, you know, mine would be a case in point. I was pretty much a full-time parent until both my daughters were at primary school. And then I just happened to have increasingly liberated times where I could throw myself into paid work and have the unpaid work dimension just fade slightly. So he's out of step in a whole lot of ways.
It's interesting, Mary. It's Macca here. And one of the things he said, when I look back, you know, I see that men enjoyed a substantial advantage, you know, et cetera. But he makes the point, he said he appointed 27 men to cabinet, every single one who had children, many of whom were of school age when their fathers served as ministers. I also appointed 5 women, 2 of whom had grown-up children, and 3 of whom had no children at all, a fact which I know they endured personal criticism from time to time. So he's saying, oh, look, some of these women were criticised that they didn't have any children, yet he's using the fact that they have children as a reason effectively why you can't appoint them. I mean, you know, is he having a bob each way here, or is he?
Well, look, it's gendered blind spots, really. I mean, if you recall, just skipping to another Conservative leader, you know, who's back in the wings waiting, Tony Abbott, when he could only find 1 or 2 women to appoint to his cabinet, he said, when challenged about that, he said, but look, there are good women knocking on the door. And then when Turnbull became leader, he and Prime Minister, he appointed someone like Maurice Payne. He appointed more women to his cabinet, but not enough. But one of them was Maurice Payne, and it was quite interesting to read the press upon her appointment as Defence Minister of people, men largely, across the defence industry, saying, what a great appointment. She's been 20 years in Parliament. She's so across her policy briefs, it's not funny, and she's got a tremendous hold on this portfolio. And you sort of think, well, presumably she wasn't knocking on the door loudly enough for Tony to hear. What it says is that Abbott had a blind spot in that he doesn't see women of capacity, and John Howard doesn't see women in other than the kind of old-fashioned, oldie-worldy, breadwinner male, female at home. He doesn't see beyond that, despite the fact the world has changed.
Mary, I just find it extraordinary that in 2016 we are still having debates about the gender balance in our public and private institutions. I think it's a very odd thing. But
well, yeah. Look, it is interesting because in some respects, and you've only got to look at it in terms of the incredible rippling effect of women's participation in sport and in netball and football and so on, in that what's happening is that our community attitudes and values amongst a lot of people are taking us into a more forward-looking and progressive future, but our institutions are lagging
stuck.
Behind.
Yes.
They're stuck. They're ossified. And I'd say, for example, that our two-party, white, male, institutionalised Anglo political system is now in decay, and the institutions themselves don't know how to reform. So I think we have to take them kicking and screaming into the future.
Look, I absolutely endorse what you're saying, and I just want to add to that the comments, the reason why the comments that John Howard made are significant is because he was a former Prime Minister and he should be showing leadership on this issue and actually paving the way forward rather than paving the way backwards. And I think that's what he's done.
When I was pondering this when I knew you were going to call me this morning, and I have an enduring image of having watched the memorial service in Sydney to Gough Whitlam and Noel Pearson's quite extraordinary speech, which was riveting and goosebumpy. And he was capturing the political imagination and the reform
yes.
imagination of Whitlam. And the camera panned to people like John Howard. And honestly, he was sitting there like a, little mean, shriveled person, frankly. And I just thought, you see, he has no... And, let's face it, most people of a conservative ilk, like John Howard, their political imagination extends basically to reinforcing or shoring up the status quo, which they don't see any particular problem with. John Howard did nothing for women in his term, and yet he's fated as, one of our most successful and enduring prime ministers. But in terms of his reform imagination, women have been in increasing numbers in the workforce, especially since World War II. That's 50 years of women's vibrant and robust participation and climb into senior positions and so on. But he did nothing in any policy sense for women.
How is it, Mary, that... the Liberal Party has a very... Look, all political parties have large numbers of female members. Members of the party and also members of Parliament in varying degrees. How is it that this sort of attitude can still take root? There are still people in both parties, some to a lesser degree than others, that still, that hold this very traditional view. What is it... The women in those parties, how does this still happen when they have, they have a lot of power, they have a lot of votes in those parties? How does this attitude and relationship still continue? I'm always puzzled by that.
Because the dominant political culture is still largely masculine. The levers of power in our society are still largely held.
Yeah.
By men. The power, it's one thing to talk about increasing numbers of women, and yet interestingly and ironically, the Liberal Party in this country led the way in the 1940s and 50s.
Yes.
And ironically, in the Menzies era, they actually had more women entering Parliament than the Labor Party did. And I found a quote I wanted to read out to you by Dame Enid Lyons, who lost her husband in 1939. She later wrote that juggling work and home duties, organising her large family, she had 12 children, coping with their childhood illnesses and medical problems, liaising with their teachers, keeping herself well-dressed, fulfilling social duties in her constituency, Dame Enid became the first woman ever in this country to enter the House of Reps in 1943. Without the support of her husband, she said, were extremely tiring times. Her heartfelt cry touches a nerve in women today. Quote, in the 1940s, she was thinking, I would sometimes look at all the men about me and envy them for having wives. Were there any of these politicians, I would ask myself, who even washed their own socks? That was from the first woman to enter the House of Reps. But see, the interesting thing is that the Liberal Party is going backwards right now. There are much less women in both the federal and in Victoria state parliaments, and you've got really quite impressive women like Mary Waldridge and others in Victoria who are now finding themselves fairly lonely.
Yes.
So the Liberal Party's got to look at ways in which it boosts its numbers.
Yes.
Well, we have to go there. Well, we can ask this of Michael Kroger next week. He's going to have a chat to us.
Fantastic. Ask him if he likes quotas.
We will.
But we know that John Howard doesn't.
He doesn't.
Mary, thank you very much. It's great to have you, and thank you for sharing your insight.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.